Walking through the White House doors for the final time during Obama's presidency, the weight of Donald Trump's imminent inauguration hung heavy in the air. This wasn't the triumphant conclusion we had imagined to a historic era, but rather a sobering reminder of America's political transformation. How did we get from "Yes, we can" to "Make America Great Again" in just 8 years? This question forms the backbone of Dan Pfeiffer's political memoir, which examines how the forces that shaped Obama's presidency ultimately enabled Trump's rise. Beyond partisan talking points, this insider account reveals the deeper currents reshaping our democracy, from media fragmentation to the rise of social platforms to the Republican Party's transformation into something unrecognizable to previous generations. My political journey began with defeat in seventh grade, playing Michael Dukakis in a mock debate where policy details couldn't compete with simple messaging. This lesson stayed with me through college and various political roles until meeting Barack Obama in 2007. Despite my skepticism about a rookie politician with a vague message of hope, I left with a new job and renewed purpose. The 2008 Obama campaign operated like the greatest startup in history, revolutionizing politics with five essential elements. Fearlessness, our unofficial WTF, prioritizing high risk, high reward. Exponential scaling, building while flying. Culture, no drama Obama. Strategic vision, Obama as a chess player in a city of checkers players. And authentic messaging, emphasizing narrative over focus-grouped soundbites. "I just banned torture. That's pretty cool, huh?" Obama casually remarked during my first week as Deputy Communications Director. When he encountered a reporter moments later, he added, "I guess we better figure out how to tell the country about what I just did." This exchange defined my job, communicating a transformative presidency in a rapidly changing media environment. Despite being the greatest communicator of the modern political era, Obama struggled to effectively tell his presidency story. The presidential bully pulpit had died. Unlike Reagan's era, when presidential addresses commanded national attention, Obama faced a fragmented landscape with countless entertainment choices. Political journalism increasingly resembled sports coverage, focusing on who's winning, highlights, and bloopers. This sports center effect created a cycle where outrageous statements garnered attention while thoughtful policy work went ignored. In April 2011, I distributed Obama's birth certificate at the White House podium, a surreal moment marking the rise of fake news and post-truth politics. The birther conspiracy began as malicious email chains during Obama's first campaign. When mainstream media ignored it, Trump adopted birtherism during his Celebrity Apprentice tour, forcing media coverage. Despite releasing Obama's birth certificate, 40% of Republican voters still refused to believe Obama was American-born. Similarly, 29% of voters continued believing in healthcare reform death panels years after the law passed. This phenomenon wasn't due to declining intelligence, but resulted from media and technology changes weaponizing our political impulses. Republican-fostered distrust in mainstream media undermined their role as factual referees, while Facebook's emergence as a news source accelerated conspiracy theory spread. By 2016, this transformed media ecosystem created the perfect environment for Trump's rise. Fox News operates as a Republican propaganda machine disguised as news. Unlike mainstream media's bias toward conflict, Fox systematically flips positions based on party control, defending Bush's anti-terrorism strategies, then criticizing Obama's identical approaches, and celebrating under Trump economic indicators they dismissed under Obama. Fox created Trump's environment by constructing an alternative reality that distorted politics and swayed Republican voters and politicians. They established a cycle of bullshit where fringe internet falsehoods get amplified by Fox, then cited by Republican politicians who reference Fox as their source. After Trump's election, Fox transformed from opposition force to state-run propaganda. From the start, Republicans opposed Obama despite his bipartisan efforts, consulting McCain, appointing Republicans to his cabinet, and visiting Capitol Hill personally. John Boehner announced opposition to Obama's stimulus before the president even arrived, and every House Republican voted against it despite the economic crisis. Republican opposition intensified as they shut down government over Obamacare, threatened economic collapse by refusing to raise the debt ceiling, and rejected previously supported legislation to deny Obama victories. Republicans avoided White House dinners with Obama, fearing voter backlash. The base's antipathy toward Obama paralyzed the party, and the establishment's failure to confront their fringe enabled Trump's rise. Twitter acts like a performance-enhancing drug for politics, slightly improving the good aspects while dramatically worsening the bad. It democratizes information through citizen journalism and removes filters between politicians and the public. However, it simultaneously makes politics louder, meaner, and faster, distorting reality by amplifying trivial matters while obscuring important issues. During Obama's first debate with Romney in 2012, I witnessed Twitter's concerning influence. While Obama's performance seemed merely slow starting, Twitter rapidly shaped a catastrophic narrative. Andrew Sullivan's tweet transformed perception into reality within 30 minutes, potentially altering the election's trajectory. Twitter has also blurred traditional journalistic boundaries between reporters, facts, columnists, opinions, and analysts, expert interpretation. This erosion allows junior reporters to offer unedited opinions, creating openings for Trump and supporters to attack factual reporting. How should Democrats respond to these challenges? First, Fox will never be your friend. They lack shame and aren't influenced by criticism. Second, talk to Fox News viewers, just not on Fox, through local TV, Facebook, and in-person campaigning. Third, build out a progressive media to counter right-wing advantage. Though Obama typically prevailed against Republicans, each victory came at a cost as the Republican base grew more radicalized. But lessons? Can't join 'em, beat 'em. Progress requires defeating Republicans at the ballot box. Go high rather than emulate Trump's tactics, which would foster cynicism. Don't cede the argument. Democrats must position themselves as the true party of the working class fighting corruption. To win future elections, Democrats must recognize that Obama's unique appeal had retained conservative Democrats. Traditional notions of electability are obsolete. Elections require telling Americans a compelling story, and Democrats must explain why they're best positioned to guide America through economic uncertainty. On Election Day 2016, I woke up confident in Hillary Clinton's victory. For months on my podcast, I had reassured nervous Democrats, essentially providing Xanax for nervous liberals. That evening, I watched in disbelief as Donald Trump was elected president. I couldn't have been more wrong, though I wasn't alone. Hillary would have made a great president, qualified, empathetic, and intellectually curious. Our path forward requires audacity, authenticity, and inspiration. The America I saw traveling with Obama bears no resemblance to Trump's dark vision. We must stand against racism and misogyny while acknowledging real economic anxiety. Most importantly, we must never lose hope in the American people's fundamental goodness and ability to overcome dark political moments. The Women's March, millions strong across America, hopeful and joyful rather than angry, showed that one day into the Trump era, we were already bending the arc toward justice. Yes, we still can.